I'm grateful for the opportunity. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to start in verse 1. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. Let's pray. Holy Father, we pray that you would give us hearts and minds to know you. That you would give us ears to hear your word and hearts to understand it, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would help us. Lord, help me as I preach your word that I would do it rightly. Lord, and for the rest of us as we listen to the word being preached, Lord, that it would not fall on deaf ears, but that it would change us, that it would make us more like you. Lord, we pray that your kingdom would come to each and every heart who hears this message, and that your will would be done in our lives. We pray that you would be glorified in our service this evening. We ask all this in the name of our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. So as you can see, I have titled this message, A Reminder of the Gospel. So the New King James says, I want to make known to you the gospel, but he's talking about reminding you of it. And so if you look at verse 1, let's see if this works. There you go. Yeah, I'm pressing the right one. But you'll see in verse 1, it says, I want to remind you, brothers, of the gospel that was preached to you, which you received, and in which you stand. And so I just want to take time to go through those three points. I've put them points 1, 2, and 3, that it was preached to you, that it was received by you, and in which we must stand. So first, the gospel that is preached to you, and I think this could be overlooked, but it really is important because, as I have up here, I don't know if you can see that, but Romans 10, 9 through 14, and if you want to turn there, you can, but I'm going to go ahead and read. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then this is really the part I want you to focus on. I put it in bold. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So it's important when he says that this, I want to remind you of this gospel which was preached, that you understand that this is, The preaching of the word is the means by which God has ordained that men are saved. Men and women both together. But this is what God has ordained. So it's important to see that the gospel is preached. And that is how people are saved. And then if we go on to point number 2, that it's a reminder of the gospel which you have also received. And I want to go to a text that talks about receiving the gospel or more so receiving Christ. But John 1, 9 through 13 says, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And so we see here that they're receiving Christ. And I want to make this point that Christ, well, you saw back, can you go back, Ethan, to that first slide? You see in this text that, oh no, the previous slide. Yeah, go back to the First John one. Thank you. But it says that he was in the world, there in verse 10, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. So this is a point I want to make about who Christ is. He's the creator. He is God made flesh. He is the second person of the Trinity. So we believe that God is one, but he is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so Christ here, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. So we see that Christ came to the world, even though the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And it says he came to his own, talking about the Jewish people. Christ was Jewish, and they did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. So the second point I want to make here is that receiving, so we see Christ is the creator, he's God made flesh, and he's the second person of the Trinity, but we also see that receiving Christ is receiving the gospel. You know, it's not just what he has done, but it's also who he is. I put here that it's the person and work of Christ. It's who he is and what he has done. And then going on, we also see, I just want to point out, in this text, verse 13, it says, "Were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And you know, I don't think it's coincidence that it's redundant there, that not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. You know, you can't read that and not believe that salvation is of the Lord. And I have this subpoint here, regeneration, but this is what it's teaching. You know, when someone does receive Christ, when someone does believe on his name, it's because God has made him alive to that. You know, like I was praying, he needs to give us hearts to understand, eyes to see, ears to hear. We need those things to receive Christ. We need to be born again. And then, of course, this gospel is also the gospel in which you stand. And we must stand in this. And to illustrate this point, I want to go to Galatians. But you see here in verse 1, he says, Galatians 1, verse 6. He says, "I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." And we know that from Acts that there were Judaizers who were coming into the church, and they were saying, "That's great that y'all believe in Christ and you're saved by faith, but we just want you to receive circumcision as well." And they were trying to add something to the gospel. And so most of this letter is Paul, you know, battling for how we are saved. And he's saying here, you know, you're turning to a different gospel. And he says, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. And we're going to see that gospel later on in the verses we're going through in 1 Corinthians, but he says to let him be accursed if they preach something differently. He says, "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel." And I just love that wording that's used in the ESV. That's why put this up here in ESV, but you know, the New King James says not according to man. What he's saying here is it's not man's gospel. This is God's gospel we're talking about, and we need to be really careful if we're going to add anything to that or even take something away from it. But this is Galatians, how Galatians starts out. And then if we go on to Galatians 5, 2 through 4, just to show you how important this is. But he says here, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, this is what they're trying to add to the gospel. And today we add, you know, other things to this, but the principle is the same. If you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. And look what he says here. He says, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. He says, you have fallen away from grace. I mean, think about how strong wording that is and why it's so important not to fall away or move away or to add something to the gospel. But we must stand in the gospel. We must stand in the work of Christ, who he is, what he's done. And we can't deviate from that. It's not like we can get saved and then move on to something else. No, we must stand in that. And it's so important. And we see here that Titus 3, 5 through 7, it's, you know, just to contrast the you who are trying to be justified by works of the law. He says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior. Through Jesus Christ our Savior. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, it's not by works of righteousness. And you who would seek to be justified by the law, he says you've been severed from Christ. He said Christ has no benefit to you. It's so important to believe this, to stand in this, that he saved us through the washing of regeneration, not by something we did, but by the work of God, not by the will of the flesh or the will of man, but by the will of God. We have to be born of God. And it says, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And we must stand in him in that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So those three things, it's the gospel, and if you, those three points I made, it's the gospel that was preached, that's the way that we were saved, it's the gospel we received, and then it's the gospel in which we stand. And then if you go on to verse 2 in 1 Corinthians 15, he says here, and he's making a reminder of the gospel, and it says, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Now, Paul is going to later tell us how the grace of God was not working in vain in him, and what that looks like, but here quickly, you know, by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word. That's what we're talking about when we say we need to stand in the gospel. We need to hold fast to that word which was preached. Because if we don't, it is vain. If we hear the word preached, but we don't receive it, then we heard the gospel in vain. And if we hear the gospel and receive it, but we don't stand in it, if we don't continue to hold fast to it, then we received it in vain. But when we hear the gospel preached, and we receive it, and then we continue to stand in it, this is going to look a certain way. It's going, you know, this is what we need to do. We must be reminded of this, that if we do these things, if you are in Christ, if you hear it preached, you receive it, and you continue to stand in it, you will be a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is so important. We need to be reminded of this, that we need to, the gospel must be preached, the gospel must be received, and we must continue to stand in the gospel. We can't move away from it. It's so necessary, and that's why he says, you know, we need to be reminded of this, and we all need to be reminded of this continually, daily. You know, Christ said, I believe it's in Luke, that you must take up your cross daily and follow me. And so as we see those things in verses 1 through 2, you know, I hope those stand out to you, that the gospel must be preached, that's the way that we are saved, that we must receive it. We must receive Christ, who He is and what He's done. And we must continue to stand in the gospel. Or it would be in vain that we did these things in the first place. And then going on to verse 3, he says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance." Right? This is the most important thing, you know. We think eating is important, and we think, you know, paying our bills are important, and they are. But if you didn't eat, you'd eventually die and you'd have a real problem on your hands. Because after you die, you're going to stand before God in judgment. And this is of first importance. This is the most important thing, that we understand and know the gospel, and that it has changed us. He says, and this is the gospel. He says, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures." And now there's a strong point to be made, because we know that Christ died for sins. But has He died for your sins? Did He just die for the sins of people who need forgiveness, of people who do sin? Or have you personalized this? Have you received this? I mean, we hear that Christ died for sins, but has He died for your sins? Do you believe that this is for you? That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures? That He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures? You know, I think Acts 2:24 says that it was impossible for death to hold Him. You know, Christ, God raised Him from the dead. He is alive today. That's proof that He is God. I mean, He told, how many times did He prophesy saying, "I'm going to be delivered over, I'm going to be crucified, and then I'm going to raise again." Right? I mean, it's proof that He is God, that everything He said about Himself was true. And it says, "Then He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Now, we might hear the gospel, and when we're preaching to people, you know, really just hammer that Christ died for our sins, that He's buried and He rose again. But in when He's telling them the gospel, and what's so important about it is that He appeared after He rose from the dead. They know this. This is a historical fact that Christ rose from the dead, that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. I mean, there's witnesses of the resurrected body of Christ walking around. It continues on. It says, "Then He appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time." You know, so it wasn't just a few people who led the rest of astray or made up some story. You know, and even if they did, well, they all died for that story if they were just making it up. But we know that 500 people saw Him alive at one time. Then, of course, He makes a statement that most of whom are still alive. Now, you have to read that in the context. It doesn't mean there's people who saw Christ risen still alive today. This was quite a while ago. They'd be pretty old. But at the time this was written, they were still alive. He says, though most of them are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one, I'm trying to read on the TV, it's kind of small. "As last of all, as one untimely born, He appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And this is Paul talking, of course, and we know his story, that he was an enemy of the gospel, an enemy of Christ. And that's what makes him such a powerful witness to the gospel, because he was an enemy who became converted. And he says, you know, even though he was made an apostle by Christ, which an apostle really is, it's hard to explain today, but it's basically like an attorney or someone who has a power of an attorney. Like the apostles can speak for Christ. When they say they're an apostle of Christ, it means they're speaking for Christ, that they're sent by Christ. So, you know, some people are confused about whether or not there's apostles around today. I don't believe there are. Because they give a list of things. One of being having to see the resurrected Christ to be an apostle, risk requirements to be an apostle, and I mean, there might be some people claiming that today, but the apostles' doctrine that we have, it's finished, it's complete. And when you hear that in Hebrews that he spoke to us in many times, in many ways, but now he speaks to us through Christ, you know, he's talking about those the apostles who speak for Christ in the New Testament specifically. But he says here that he's the least because he persecuted the church of God. And then going on, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. So he didn't so much affect what he did before, but he says it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. And if you know the story of how Paul was converted, I mean, he was knocked down when he saw a bright light. I mean, he was blinded, right? And, you know, it was just a tremendous example of what salvation is and the work of God in that. And that is not by the will of the flesh or the will of man, but the will of God. And Paul says here that it's by the grace of God he is what he is. And his grace toward me was not in vain. And that's a really powerful point to make here because, you know, he says here that I would remind you, brothers, in the beginning, in verse 1, of the gospel I preached you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to that word, unless you believed in vain. And if you contrast that if you don't do those things, then it would be in vain. But in his case, he says, it was not in vain. He says, on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Talking about the other apostles. I mean, think about what a powerful thing that is to say, right? That I worked harder than all the other apostles. But then he goes on, he says, but hold on, I'm not bragging here, right? It was not me. It was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. You see, this doctrine is so important because God gets all the glory. And we do want him to be glorified. And you know, that's why I truly believe that's why he ordained salvation to happen the way that it does. That we hear it preached, we preach his word, and then he saves people. Right? It's not through logical arguments or anything like that. We just have to take his word and not mess it up. I've heard the analogy that we're just like waiters of the word. We just try to get it from the kitchen to the table without messing it up, right? You know, you just that's what the preacher's job is to do, just deliver the word in an unaltered right form. But he says that it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. And then he says, whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so also you believed. And I hope that as you've heard the gospel preached tonight, or wherever you hear the gospel preached, that you would believe in that. For it is the power of God unto salvation.